I look out my window. What do you think I see? And when I look in my window, so many different people to be. It's strange. Sure is strange. You got to pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch. Two rabbits running in Lord Ditch. Oh no. Must be the season of the
where all the creatures meet. The last building to your left on a dead-end street. You'll find skeleton bones outside in the pavement. Torture chambers down in the basement. And cobwebs hanging over your head. And music being played by the Grateful Dead. And it's spinning on the turntables back to back. There's no other than my main man, Wolfman Jack. The MC of the night, rapping to the tunes, is a creature from the Black Lagoon. There's a sign on the door that can't be missed. It says enter, but at your own risk. Cause people been reported going in the haunted house, but never again seen coming out. You ask me if it's true, well I'll leave it to you. Here's an invite, I hope I see you tonight. We sent out invitations for weeks and weeks. We invited in all kinds of creeps like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the Addams Family and the Monster Five, the Invisible Man. Where could he be? We know he got inside the party free. One of these days they're gonna catch him red-handed, if not for sneaking it free, for being a booty bandit. The bartender was cute, but kinda hairy. And Dracula was killing those Bloody Marys. He got drunk as a skunk, started trouble all night. But everybody knew his bark was bigger than his bite. It was the only place for you to be. The first 200 witches in the house were free. And all was well until the clock struck 12. And everybody jumped up and started raising hell. They were screaming, they were breaking and foaming at the mouth. Just minor side effects of the haunted house. You have haunted dreams all in your sleep. You'll be tossing and turning to the funky beat. Frankenstein was there with some crazy looking chick. I think he said her name was Voodoo on the Stick. She had a big fat head and a skinny body. And what we call with her alone, that's known at a party. Igor was there with the monster crew. I seen everybody there except you. Why didn't you come? Weren't you prepared? Or could it be that you were scared? It's just not fair that you couldn't be there, because you really missed a lot. And I'm telling you, we really brought the place down at the Haunted House of Rock.
That's the Houdini guys from Houdini. Haunted House of Rock. This is the haunted radio station of talk. I'm Chris, he's Rob, and we're taking your phone calls. And we got a really good guest on next. We're going to get right into this. I wanted to remind you really quick before we start talking about ghost hunting with our next guest that this is the fall membership drive here at WAIF Public Radio. You can't get radio like this for free anywhere else, especially with these fancy pants satellite systems and these home theater systems. Everything's expensive, but this is free. And you've heard the rap on other shows on this station. You've heard the rap on all the other public radio stations, even that classical music station. Call now, 961-8900. That's area code 513-961-8900. And please pledge your support to public radio. There are many exciting premium pledge levels. We've got a baseball hat. We got a golf umbrella, all with the WAIF logo on it. So please call 961-8900. Now, our next guest is an interesting character. Dale Kaczmarek. He's the president of the Ghost Research Society. He's he's a psychic researcher and one of Chicago area's foremost experts in the paranormal. The Ghost Research Society is an international organization whose members share an interest in all things paranormal, including hunting for ghosts, apparitions, and poltergeists. Hi, Dale.
How you doing?
Fine. How you doing tonight?
Great. Just great.
Are you having a good Halloween so far?
Kind of quiet. Kind of quiet so far.
Now, what exactly is it you do? Who calls you, and what do you do when you show up there?
Well, I've been involved in ghost research for 31 years now, since 1975. And what I try to do is to discern whether or not there's something going on in someone's house, apartment, private business, private home, public place, through the use of high-tech equipment that we do use, and talking, interviewing with people, going through, setting up the gear, and seeing what we can gather as far as their evidence for the existence or the proof of what's going on.
Now, hold on. When you say setting up the gear, is this something like you see in the movies like Poltergeist, where you get a bunch of guys from a university and they got cameras and strobe lights and stuff like that?
Well, we do have a number of very special equipment that we use, including tri-field meters, electromagnetic detection devices. We use night vision cameras. We have other devices that pick up static electricity, cold spots, temperature fluctuations. What we try to do is to, when we go through the house, to initially find out if there's something going on by going through with the equipment and finding out if there's something beyond the normal background radiation, background electromagnetic fields, and look for areas where things have happened. People have told us things have happened.
Now, here's something I never understood when I see this stuff in the movies, is if you've got a ghost, and a ghost is from the other side, the other dimension, or wherever you want to say it's from, it's in a place in between the real world and heaven and hell. I don't know where you want to say it's from, but this thing ain't real, or at least it ain't real like the apple on your table is real or the pencil in your hand is real. You can't pick it up and hold it. How can your cameras and all these sophisticated detection devices see if anything's there? And I'm not talking about silly movies like Ghostbusters, but when you got like these horror movies like Poltergeist or something, what are they looking for?
Well, there's a theory that ghosts do produce electromagnetic energy, so they cause deviations in electromagnetic fields. Most of the time when people call me to tell me what's going on in their homes, it's things associated with electrical appliances. TV sets going off and on, television sets volumes going on, lights flickering, fuse boxes going out. I mean, some of this can be, you know, obviously natural, but I mean, these are, in the case of when we get involved with houses that may be haunted, a lot of electrical disturbances are often in play. So these devices will tell us whether or not there is something beyond the normal electromagnetic field in there. There's a theory that when you die, obviously, if you believe there is a life after death, that there is a survival of the soul. The body only dies, so the soul survives in some way, and that soul is made up of some random electrical energy, memories, personality, if you will. And sometimes we look for those things. Now, there's a lot of times that things will show up on cameras. Various ways you can experience a ghost. You don't always have to see one to know they're around. You can feel them through cold spots. You might hear them through sounds. You might actually get a whiff of a psychic smell, an odor. It could be perfume, cigarettes, tobacco, things of that nature. So when people describe these things going on in their home, they're describing things that have affected their senses, their five senses.
Do you want to take phone calls from our listening audience if anyone's actually tuned in tonight?
Sure.
The phone number I mentioned earlier is the same for calling in and speaking with our guest, Dale Kaczmarek. The phone number is 513-961-8900. You can handle most calls on pretty much anything having to do with the paranoia or the paranormal, ghosts, and poltergeists and things like that, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if anybody's got a sighting or if they think they have a ghost in their house or they've seen one, or even if you just have sort of a general question about the topic, 513-961-8900.
Now, if you go out on 100 calls in the month of October, how many of them will be they have a leaky faucet or they have a back door that won't close all the way?
Well, in the cases that we do, give a general random amount, if we were to do, say, 100 cases a year, the vast majority of them, probably about 80% or so, do have some natural explanation. Now, of the 20% remaining, 10% might be actually things we simply can't explain. We won't classify them necessarily as a ghost. We might say they're simply paranormal, but they're just unknown. We don't know what's going on. And of that, you know, 20%, maybe a fraction, maybe 8 or 9% of that might actually be something that is a ghost, in that disembodied spirit of a once living person that's, for whatever reason, hanging around.
Well, what's the difference between a ghost and a poltergeist, or are they two term for the same thing?
Actually, there is a difference. Really, a ghost is, as I mentioned, a surviving personality, usually due to an untimely death, a murder, a suicide, a car crash, something that happened to somebody in life that they don't realize that they have passed on. Motion pictures have done a very nice job in recent years, such as Ghost with Patrick Swayze, Demi Moore, The Other, Sixth Sense, White Noise. All those people that portrayed ghosts in those motion pictures had untimely deaths, violent deaths, where they did not realize that they were dead until later in the film. The term poltergeist is basically a German word meaning noisy ghost, but it's thought to be not caused by a ghost at all, but really PK, or psychokinesis, mind over matter, the ability to move objects with the power of the mind, much like the movie Carrie.
Or like a Jedi thing, like Jedis can do
that. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Okay, so they're not the same thing.
They're not related usually, but they're all part of what's grouped in a big ball called parapsychology.
Ah, yes.
And parapsychology encompasses not only ghosts, hauntings, but poltergeist gets into telepathy, ESP, precognition, things of that nature, all the power of the mind that we are still looking into because so much of our mind is not really used on a daily basis.
Well, now you think that out of if you do 100 cases, you think that maybe only less than 10% are actually what you would think would be a ghost or a poltergeist. So,
exactly.
What? Uh-huh. Give us a good story here of somebody that you think, hey man, that's not a short in the TV cord. That's not the upstairs ceiling fans left on. That is a visitor who's dead. What happened? What was going on in this particular instance?
Well, in one case, for instance, it was a very highly recognized case here in the south side of the city of Chicago in Orland Hills a number of years ago. It was in one of my books called the Orland Hills Poltergeist, and what probably was a poltergeist, but there may have been other factors also involved in here as well. This was basically a family who moved into a brand new home and a brand new housing project. And shortly after they moved in, things began happening in the home. Cords plugged into the wall sockets from microwave ovens would actually melt in the walls. They would get an odor of sulfur in the house on many occasions. Very, very strong, very suffocating. There are times that spontaneous fires would break out in the home for no apparent reason. The police department of Orland Hills and the fire department have been called in many times to investigate the sources of these fires and disturbances. And throughout the years, this continued for many, many months until one time there was a call. They actually went to the house, went upstairs, and as they were kind of looking through to try to find this smell, where it was coming from, this odor, two state fire marshals and a police department personnel, including a fire department personnel, was upstairs in the bedroom. The power to the house had been shut off, and out of the wall socket, a blue plume of flame, 21 inches long, shot out of the outlet and set a mattress on fire.
Mm.
They doused it with a handheld extinguisher they had, threw it out over the out the window, and doused it further throughout that day. These were things they couldn't explain. Eventually, what they did is they contacted us, myself and a professional psychic I worked with at the time, and we were given pretty much a gag order, just said not to talk about this, but they could not explain what was going on in this house. What eventually happened is that the family moved out for a while. They moved to their grandmother's house. Things began happening there for a little bit, and when eventually the insurance group, the Travelers Insurance Group, tore this brand new house down to the ground, and gave the people a settlement. They moved elsewhere, and apparently nothing has happened since that time. But there is things on the property that were mentioned in conversation, like bones that were found in the excavation of the basement when they were digging for the basement, which were thought to be at first human bones. And there was also a slaughter farm, a pig farm, that was very close to that area too, which may have had something to do with all this activity. It seemed like this girl had to be there in the house, in the general area, for these things to happen. And once she was removed from the environment, things seemed to calm down. So it may have simply been a poltergeist, but there may have been some other things that she might have been kind of tapping into, some of those energies at that house.
Did anyone bother to check the gas lines? When you talk about sulfur and fires breaking out?
Different investigations by not only NICOR, but Commonwealth Edison. They brought out people from Hewlett-Packard. There were insurance groups out there. There were engineers. You name it. They did every conceivable test. And these tests were eventually given to the State Fire Marshal Department, and they presented the results to us at that meeting. And that's why they called us in. They couldn't explain what was going on at the time.
We're talking to Dale Kaczmarek with the Ghost Research Society out of Chicago, Illinois. And if you have a question about ghosts or the paranormal or hauntings or anything related, feel free to give us a call here at WAIF and the Chris and Rob Show. The phone number is 513-961-8900. That's 513-961-8900.
That was a fascinating story, Mr. Kaczmarek, about the house there in southern Chicago. But what about you yourself? Have you ever been creeped out yourself when you're walking around with your tricorder reader and you got your camcorders and stuff? Have you ever felt the icy hand of death from beyond the grave?
Well, put it this way. We had a very unusual experience just earlier this year. I was out doing a conference in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and on the way back, we decided to stop at Gettysburg, the site of a very bad Civil War battle in 1863, July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. There was a section of the battlefield that was well known for having paranormal activity in the past, including people seeing phantom regiments marching. They would often see people marching in columns disappear. Sometimes they would hear the sounds of gunfire, screaming, yelling on the battlefield. These were not reenactors. This was sometimes in the evening when it was getting ready to close the battlefield. We decided to go out there one evening from about 8:30 at night to about 10 o'clock at night, which was ideal for our conditions because it's less people in the battlefield, so less chance of having something accidentally be recorded as something else. And as we were in there, nothing happened until about 9:45 or so. Just about the time we're getting ready to pack up, myself and my assistant distinctly smelled the distinct odor of cherry pipe tobacco simply float down the hill. There was no way this could have come from somewhere. There was nobody anywhere nearby. Neither one of us smoked. Soon after, we heard sounds of hoofbeats on the driveways through Gettysburg, distinct sounds of a horse just slowly walking and then stopped very abruptly. About a minute later, we distinctly saw a figure climbing up the hill in a totally dark environment. No flashlight, not tripping, not hesitating, just simply walking, just very casually up the hill. And I can't say what it was for sure. I know if it would have been even a forest ranger, even a well-versed forest ranger out there, that's a very hilly terrain. It's very rocky, a lot of holes. There was no flashlight whatsoever. You surely could have twisted your ankle, hurt yourself out there, fell down the hill, even if you know the area very well. So I don't know what it was, but it surely happened in succession, all within a span of about 5 minutes, in a very haunted part of that battlefield.
So you heard horse hooves, so animals, cats and dogs and horses can become ghosts as well?
Well, I believe that animals can be perceived as ghosts. I mean, I've had a lot of reports from people who have had family pets in the past that believe that their pets actually do come back on occasion, sometimes to drop in. Other times they'll hear a cat or a dog. They might feel something brush up against their leg. Some people keep behind mementos of the animal. Sometimes they're play toys, they're collars, and sometimes these things move as though something's playing with them. In the case of horses in Gettysburg, what we're probably looking at really is, again, something, a lot of trauma, a lot of tragedy that happened at a battlefield that happened in 1863. And these are what would be called a place memory, something in the past that for some reason has permanently etched itself in the fabric of time and space. And sometimes people traveling through that area at just a precise time, when the conditions are right, they might get almost a reenactment of what took place sometime in the past.
Wow. Now, how when you say you see somebody, or if you get a report of somebody, do they actually see a head to shoulder or head to foot? Do you see the whole thing going on there, or do you just see a few, or do you see like a partial, like half of the person?
It really varies. I've had a lot of reports that where people have believed that they've seen something in their homes. They've told me they've seen things since, from balls of light to streaks of light to strange shadows and shapes that simply just look like dark shadows to semi-transparent figures that you can really see through. Sometimes they're full-bodied. Sometimes they're only from the waist up. Sometimes they're, believe it or not, just from the waist down. And
so you just got like some legs, like the rocket video.
There's actually some pictures on the internet. There's actually some pictures I've seen on the internet that actually only show the bottom torso of a figure. Other times, the figure can be very, very well. It looks almost like flesh and blood, like we do. And there are many reports here in Chicago, for instance. We have a very famous story that's been going on for more than 70 years now of a hitchhiking ghost that's been seen due to a tragedy that happened along Archer Avenue in the southwest side of the city. And she's been seen dressed in the style of the 1930s and early 40s, that type of ballroom gown. And a number of people, including the cab driver, in 1979, picked up this girl that looked to be a flesh and blood person, gave her a ride because he thought she might have missed her ride or had car problems. And somewhere down in front of this large Roman Catholic cemetery called Resurrection Cemetery, she just disappeared in the back seat of the car. The cab was still in motion. The doors never were open, and this girl disappeared.
So she got away without paying a fare.
Pardon me?
So she got away without even having to pay a fare or anything.
Exactly. And that's not the first time something like that has happened along here. So sometimes, just very few amount of time, but sometimes you can get an image that does look to be very much like we do, and the only time you realize that there's something wrong is the way it disappears. It's just not there anymore.
Right. There's like that Red Sovine song where Red is hitchhiking, and it's real dark and scary, and he's about to wreck and stuff, and he gets picked up by Phantom 309, and then he finally makes it through the pass, and he gets okay, and he doesn't die or anything like that, and he goes into the bar, and everybody's like, wow, how did you get through? I thought your car broke down. He says, well, I got a ride with the rig 309, and everybody freaks out and says, oh, dude, that dude's been dead for years.
There's also even a radio, a song on the radio, by Dickie Lee.
Tan Shoes and Pink Shoelaces?
Actually called Lori. And Lori talks about a hitchhiking ghost that this man met, danced with her. She asked for his sweater because he was cold. As he dropped her off at the house, forgot his sweater, went back. The mother told her that she died many years before, and just on the hunch went to the grave where she was buried, and there folded neatly on the grave was the sweater.
We're talking to Dale Kaczmarek of the Ghost Research Society. We have open phone lines at 513-961-8900. We welcome your calls on this topic and anything related. I was asking you some questions earlier about how I've perceived what you do as the way it's been portrayed in movies. Well, are there any movies that you would say are accurate to the way you've perceived the reality of ghosts in your experience? In other words, are there any movies that you think are realistic in the way they depict ghosts and ghost hunting?
Well, one of the very first ones that I thought did a pretty accurate assessment up to a point was the first movie, Poltergeist.
Okay.
And the fact that there was professional people brought in from a college, from a university. They actually did set up equipment. They did monitor the area. They did the research, and there was realistic-looking equipment there. Another one would have been the movie The Entity with Barbara Hershey.
Oh, I didn't
Again,
see that.
Also relating to not only talking about the possible psychological aspect of what she was experiencing, that it might be psychosomatic, that it might be her own imagination, that she might have been causing these marks to show up on her own body and so forth and so on. But then there was also an investigation also done later in the show. So these kind of accurately portray, you know, what I do as far as equipment-wise. Some of the movies I mentioned earlier in the show, like Ghost and White Noise and so forth, White Noise, for instance, depicting what we call EVP, or electronic voice phenomena, the ability to get spirit voices and sounds on magnetic recording tape, which is very accurate because, again, this has been going on for, 100 years or more, even dating back to the time of early researchers from the J.B. Ryan Institute and some of the local groups out in New York City, like the American Society for Psychic Research, the British Society for Psychic Research, and so forth. And these kind of audio tapes are still being produced today, where people will ask a question, leave a little bit of blank space, 10, 20, 30 seconds, ask another question, leave some blank space. They play this back, and in between the blank space, sometimes they get voices, sometimes they get answers. You don't hear them as they're being recorded, because, again, the theory behind that, ghosts are electromagnetic, so they're imprinting these electromagnetic impulses directly onto the electromagnetic tape of the tape recorder, bypassing really the physical microphone.
When you get a call to go out and take a look at somebody's house or mansion or hotel or business or whatever, you do your thing and they tell you about their sightings, they think there's a ghost, it's done this and it's done that, and you discover that it's completely explainable, it's something down to earth, how do you tell that person or that client that even though you're not a skeptic, they're out of their mind?
Well, we don't necessarily tell them they're out of their mind. We just try to point out that there is always a natural explanation for these things in some cases. Not every time that I've been involved with a ghost case or a possible paranormal case has it turned out to be something paranormal. Many times it's just mistaken identity. Very often people themselves don't do enough homework, research, and just jump to the conclusion that they're, because they're hearing sights, hearing sounds, or maybe seeing something, that it's right away a ghost. Now, I'm not like that. I don't jump to that conclusion. I try to, as I go through a case, I try to rule out possible natural explanations for what's been going on in the house. And once you begin to rule out all these natural explanations, then whatever you're left with might be something that you really have to look at, because then there might, you've kind of ruled out naturally how this can be explained, and then it may not be able to be explained. But in the case of explainable phenomena, you just have to tell the client that this is what we believe was going on, that the sounds that you were hearing in your house were nothing more than vibrations caused by trucks or a train going by vibrating things off the shelf, and you thought it was ghosts knocking them down, or the smell is coming from your sewer downstairs, or the sound that you hear is actually the beep of your doorbell, or perhaps even your smoke detector going off and you think it's something else. So a lot of times people don't really realize what's going on, and they jump to the conclusion it's a ghost.
Our guest is Dale Kaczmarek of the Ghost Research Society in Chicago, Illinois. And we talked earlier about the case you were investigating in the south side of Chicago with the smell of sulfur and the fires that would start and all this. And that was a good one. But I was going to ask you, and this is how I wanted to get a good ghost story out of you, for Halloween before we wrap this thing up. Is there one case or one particular sighting that sticks in your memory as being the most likely to be real, a real ghost, a real haunting, something that's just so spooky and creepy you can't get it out of your mind?
Yeah, there is one case that does come to mind. It's a case that I learned about when I was out in Joplin, Missouri, a number of years ago, investigating a spook light, a ghost light. I've actually written a book called Illuminating the Darkness, the Mystery of Spook Lights, which are mystery balls of light that have no explanation. When I was down there, I'd heard consistently about a story not too far away of a cemetery called Southwest City, in Southwest City, Missouri, called Evergreen Cemetery. And there were consistent reports of a woman's figure walking through almost nightly. You could go out there, you could see it. I said, well, it's got to be a natural explanation, because ghosts don't keep a pattern or a time clock that they punch to come in and be seen almost every night. I went out there. I couldn't really find too many people that had first-hand encounters. It was usually a second or third person. And so I went to the cemetery myself. It was still quite light outside. And when I got to the area that people had told me this is happening, suddenly I saw a collection of smoke beginning to appear near a grave. Now, at first, I, again, being a logical-minded person, I'm trying to rule out possible explanations. It wasn't humid. I never smoked. It wasn't foggy. There was no smoke drifting through. It wasn't... there was no reason for the smoke to be there, from what I could gather. Some parts were dense, other parts you could see through. So I took a few pictures of it, and when I took the camera away from my eye, the smoke that was there dissipated in the most unusual fashion. Rather than simply being burned off, blowing away, or dissipating in a normal fashion, it was almost as though somebody had pulled the cork out of a bathtub. That smoke kind of spiraled down like a little white tornado into the ground in front of my eyes and disappeared. Now, to this day, I don't know what I saw. I guess you could say that probably was a ghost simply because it was unexplainable. But even telling it today, it raises a little hair in the back of my neck because I was there by myself. So it's my word against the world, basically, by saying that I was the only person there. But it's a story that will always be in the back of my mind when I think about, well, perhaps this is what people were seeing, or this was the area people were seeing this ghost. Is this the ghost that I actually saw, or was it something else?
Are there any cases of a whole lot of people seeing a ghost? And I don't mean necessarily in your personal experience, but in, you know, documented recent history. Has there been a sighting or some kind of a ghost where so many people saw it that you can't deny it?
Well, again, in the case of Resurrection Mary, and I have to go back to that story only because I know it so well. I've researched it for more than 30 years, and I've spoken to and talked with just dozens and dozens of people who believe that they saw something along Archer Avenue, something resembling a woman in out-of-style clothing walking along that road. There are people that have been interviewed on shows like Unsolved Mysteries, going way back to That's Incredible, which dates back all the way through the 70s.
I remember that
and,
show.
Books have been written about her. There have been documentaries done about her. The bar on the corner actually keeps the bar stool and a Bloody Mary on the bar waiting for her in case she comes in about this time of the year.
Wow.
That's how strongly they believe in the ghost story, because they have themselves had so many experiences of people coming in the middle of the night, truck drivers, delivery trucks, cab drivers, ordinary motorists that are going down Archer. They run into something. They sometimes even feel a thud on the car. They look like somebody's crossing the road. They drive through it. It's not there anymore. They come to the only place open, which is that tavern, until late at night, tell their story there. And these people have just been hearing these stories for just generations to come. So I think if you say of a particular story that many people have seen and believe, I would that's the one that comes to mind most often.
Dale, if anybody wants to get in touch with the Ghost Research Society or wants to contact you, how do they do it?
Well, there's several ways, actually. I do have a website on the internet they can go to, which has a lot of information about the group, psychic photographs, case histories, investigations, and other links you can go to. They can go on the World Wide Web at www.ghostresearch.org, and ghost research is all one word, .org, or they can contact me at 708-425-5163.
You're really giving out your home phone number on the radio?
I don't mind a bit.
Okay. We got some weirdos listening, just so you know.
They can actually contact me through my P.O. box at Ghost Research Society, mm-hmm. Post Office Box 205, Oak Lawn, Illinois, 60454.
Okay. Dale, it's been great having you on. And, I don't know if you remember, you've been on our show on another Halloween episode we did a few years back.
Yes, I do.
And it's always great to have you on and talk about some of your experiences and some of those freaky, weird, spooky ghosts that are out there that some people are a little skeptical about. But then when you get one in your bedroom, then all of a sudden you're not that skeptical anymore.
Exactly.
Is Oak Lawn the neighborhood with all the cool houses? All the Frank Lloyd Wright stuff?
Pardon me?
Is that the Frank Lloyd Wright neighborhood?
Well, that's Oak Park.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. All right.
Oak Park. All right. That's where a lot of Frank Lloyd Wright homes are, but they're kind of scattered around the Chicagoland area.
Right. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us and our audience, Dale, and whatever you do out there, just be safe.
Thank you very much.
You got
it. You too.
It's Chris and Rob Show, WAIF Radio, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
He finds himself endeared to a girl who's kind of weird. She's mostly ghostly, up and down my spine a new sensation crawls, vastly, ghastly, the way she floats on air and walks through walls. Indeed, she's mostly ghostly, try to kiss her and she'll vanish into gloom. To say just when she'll reappear on a broom. Other girls I've known were simply dimpling, just another standard pretty face. But this one haunts me so, I daren't let her go. It's so thrilling, really chilling, when we share a brief embrace. Because she's mostly stinking to have her on my arm. Truly, ghouly, every hour with her's the hour of harm. A holiday when I'm with her, a holiday, yes, every day with her is Halloween.
It's a Chris and Rob Show on WAIF. A lot of spooky stuff going on here tonight.
Yeah, there sure is. You know what a vampire's favorite fast food is?
No, Robbie, what is a vampire's favorite fast food?
A guy with high blood pressure.
If anybody wants to call into the Chris and Rob Show, the phone number here is 513-749-1444. That's
you know why the dyslexic vampire starved to death?
No, Rob. Why do dyslexic vampires starve to death?
He couldn't find any DeLube.
Any what?
DeLube.
I don't even get that one.
Well, it should be DeLube. But, you know, if it's straight backwards, it'd be dual, but DeLube is just blood jumbled up.
Okay, check it out here. What we're going to do, we got about 15 minutes left.
All right, I got one more.
Okay, go.
Did you hear about the cannibal boy that was 8 before he was 7?
There's not even a punchline to that one, is there?
He was 8 before he was 7. Yeah. So that means he was... Did you hear about the cannibal who was expelled from school?
No, what happened to the cannibal who was expelled from school?
Well, he was buttering up his teacher.
Oh, he was? Okay, so here's a couple things we're going to do before we get to the Dr. Druid's Haunted Seance.
Did you get that one?
Yeah. Are you excited about Dr. Druid's Haunted Seance coming up soon?
Yeah, I'm so excited. I have two more cannibal things to ask you about.
Okay, ask me another question about a cannibal.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah. It's getting kind of spooky in here with all the thunder and lightning going on.
What does a cannibal get when he comes home late for dinner?
I should know this one. This one I should know. I don't know, Rob. What does a cannibal get when he comes home late for dinner?
The cold shoulder.
Oh, bro.
And did you hear about the cannibal that passed his mother-in-law in the jungle?
Hey, do me a favor. Before we leave the air studio tonight, give me those to put in my Halloween folder for next year's Halloween show.
Okay, great. Good thing I've scribbled all over them, the ones that we've told already.
All right, listen. It's a fall membership drive here at WAIF. Right. We're not doing all this Halloween fun and frivolity and spookiness just for fun. It is fun.
Like the other day, I was having fun sitting in a bar, and a skeleton walked into this bar I was sitting in where I was having fun and frivolity.
Uh-huh.
And the skeleton walked up to the bartender and said, "I'll have 2 beers. And a mop."
Okay, so if you'd like to call in and pledge your support to public radio, that would be a very good trick-or-treat thing to do. WAIF is saying trick-or-treat, and we're expecting you to pony up a piece of candy here. So call now, 513-749-1444. That's 513-749-1444. A $15 pledge gets you the basic membership, and I'll tell you, $15 a year, that ain't even dinner. That ain't even dinner. So bring it on. $25, we give you a WAIF pin to put on your lapel. For a $50 donation, we've got the Robotic Slide World Time Calculator. And I'll tell you, this is the level that I recommend most people join, because most people don't have $600 or $700 to give to public radio. Of course, if you do, please call now at 513-749-1444. But if you're a regular, everyday working schlub like me, you'll want to call in, pledge your $50 like... you know who pledged $50 on last week's show? Is our man from the west side of Cincinnati.
Steve Driehaus?
Steve Driehaus pledged $50 last week on behalf of the Democratic Party in support of public radio.
Good for
Steve. Actually, it was personal. It has nothing to do with the Democratic Party.
Leave those people
out. He's a very good Democrat. And he pledged $50, so he's going to get the WAIF Robotic Slide World Time Calculator. And if you want to know what is a Robotic Slide World Time Calculator, well, pledge $50. We'll send you one. You'll find out. Or just Google search it. A $75 pledge gets you the WAIF baseball cap. A $100 pledge, we've got the WAIF golf umbrella. But whatever you do, please pledge early and please pledge often, because without the support of listeners like you, we no longer have WAIF and people are forced to listen to commercial radio, which is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows it's terrible, which is why you're listening to all this Halloween hullabaloo tonight. So please call now at 513-749-1444. That's 513-749-1444. 1 week from tonight on the Chris and Rob Show, we're going to have your election wrap-up. Next Tuesday is a big election day. The Democrats are expected to sweep, and we're going to be here live on the radio with all your election results. First, fast and furious. You'd think the other commercial stations with their big news departments are going to have some scoops on the election. Wrong. You got to listen to Chris and Rob. We'll have the real scoops right here. Scoops and nuts. 513-749-1444 is a phone number. Call now.
Now listen, people.
People.
You disgusted me in 2004.
The people disgusted you in 2004?
The people disgusted me in 2004. They went to the polls.
And a majority of them voted for Kerry.
And they
but their votes didn't get counted.
Well, they re-elected George W. Bush.
Well, no, he cheated. There was some cheating going on. He was not legally re-elected.
They put back into office all the goofball greedheads from the Republican Party that...
This is spooky stuff right here.
By 2004, it was obvious that they had no idea what the hell they were doing in Iraq. And if you say that the president and Rumsfeld and Cheney and Wolfowitz and that whole bunch of them there up on the White House have no idea what the hell the ultimate plan is for Iraq, you are in no way insulting or attacking the troops. They try to spin it like by saying that the commander-in-chief is an idiot, that you're talking bad about the troops when you are not. The troops deserve better leadership than what they are getting. The goal for Iraq is, from what I can tell, to somehow establish a stable government in Iraq and to make America as secure as possible. I thought the goal was to, at first, it was to disarm Saddam Hussein because he was a big threat to America, and we found out there was nothing to disarm him from.
No, they were just lying about that to get to the oil.
So now they say they want to sit around and establish a stable government. Well, you know, Saddam was a maniac and he killed his own people by the hundreds of thousands, but it was a stable government. I don't understand what the hell these people are wanting to do in Iraq. I don't think they know what they want to do in Iraq. We haven't forgotten that a lot of people thought George Bush the first should have finished the job in Iraq, and now that his daddy is the president, that his daddy damn sure made sure he finished off Saddam Hussein, especially after Saddam Hussein tried to kill the first President Bush. So it's got to be personal. And now that it's personal, now that George W. Bush was able to ride the hatred of gay people all the way to the White House.
And cheat. Don't forget about all the cheating.
And he got
the guy from Ohio helped him cheat, you know, the guy with the mustache.
The guy with the Blackwell?
Yeah. I was trying not to say his name.
Oh, is he like Voldemort in those Harry Potter movies? You can't even say his name?
No, you want to say the name of Strickland. Ted Strickland. That's the name you want to keep repeating because he's a hero and a good man.
Well, Strickland, I think Strickland's going to win. I can't see anybody. After the what we've been through with Taft lately, not even the Republicans like Taft. I can't see anybody voting for another Republican for governor.
Ever again.
Well, they should probably flip-flop them. They should probably have like one-year terms and flip-flop them constantly.
Yeah, that would be all right.
So they can't get in there and they can't start passing out favors and jobs. And now that stupid cow, Betty Montgomery, what's she running for now?
Don't get me started on that.
Is she running for attorney general?
She's just mean-spirited, hateful, a hate-monger, warmonger, killer. She's a killer and a murderer, and we don't even want to talk about that.
So that stupid cow's running for something. I hope she doesn't get elected.
Right.
So, people, you disgusted me in 04. Don't be so sick in 06. Do something right. Can the American population ever get something right?
We'll discuss all this on next week's show.
They make me sick to my stomach. Yeah. It's the same people that voted for Nixon in 72.
Tell me about it.
Those people, now their kids are voting.
Uh-huh.
Now their stupid kids are voting. We like the president. We hate the Dixie Chicks. Yeah. That Ann Coulter sure is pretty. Stupid people.
Uh-oh, you hear that sound, Rob?
What kind of crazy pod did they come from?
You hear that sound?
Oh, my gosh.
It's a Halloween sound.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what that sound means?
It's just time to be scared.
It's time for Dr. Druid's haunted seance. That's what it's time for.
Welcome, seekers of the unknown. I am Dr. Druid, your spirit medium. And it is my deep pleasure to welcome you to the fold of my haunted seance, an adventure into the shadows of the supernatural, where most mortals dare not tread. We shall attempt to solve one of the great puzzles of this or any other civilization. The timeless question, is there life after death? Does the human soul, the inner personality, survive the death of the body? From everywhere in the world, in all ages, have come tales of prophetic dreams, premonitions, apparitions, visitations from beyond the veil, the belief in something foreign in matter and substance to we the living, something that defies further description other than to say the forces, those who wait for us beyond. So, my adventuresome friends, we shall presently form the inner circle. For the purpose of communicating with someone or something that may even now be hovering at your side or behind you, there in the shadows. Through our haunted seance, we will make contact.
Here's the funny thing about this record, ladies and gentlemen. On the back of it, there's a warning. Now, this record came out in 1973 on the Electric Lemon Record Company, from the Electric Lemon label. And on the back of it, there's a notice, a warning label, and it says, notice, this record is intended for entertainment purposes only. Responsibility for any psychic phenomenon which may occur, either directly or indirectly as a result of playing this record, will not be assumed by the manufacturer.
Notice first makes certain, with a series of tests in ESP, that we are all of one mind and sensitive to the vibrations, for it is with the mind.
I got a vibration to be sensitive to. Okay, listen, we got another thing to do before we get out of here. We've been playing spooky records all night. Listen to that. Now that's spooky. Now that's a spooky record. But there's more to Halloween than just spookiness, isn't there?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Chris. You
step up to the mic. Name a couple of things besides spookiness that's part of Halloween. Like, for example,
sassiness?
Naughty schoolgirl costumes.
No, I like naughty nurses better.
Naughty nurses. What about those little gray leotards and the little mouse costumes?
I like any pair of socks that come up over the knee and stop.
Hey, Jim, did you say that later tonight Doc Diablo with Speaking Diablo is going to be on at 2 o'clock and he's got a big Halloween show tonight?
Yeah, our guest tonight is author Stephen Martin, whose ancestors were burned at the stake in Salem.
Really?
Well, then how's he still around?
I guess not all of his ancestors.
I really liked him in The Man with Two Brains. And that book, Cruel Shoes, is some
funny
stuff.
Not to be confused with Steve Martin, the wild and crazy guy. This is a different one.
Okay, so they're going to talk about burning witches at the stake tonight on the Speak of Diablo show right here on Public Radio WAIF at 2 a.m.
It'd be an in-studio Halloween party.
Yeah. One last reminder here. This is the fall membership drive. Please call 513-749-1444. 513-749-1444. And make your pledge of contribution of support to WAIF and Public Radio. We have many exciting premium levels with premium pledges and gifts and things to send you. And the next person that calls in will even throw in a catfish grabbling video. VHS or DVD. So if someone calls in now at 749-1444 and pledges to WAIF, we'll send you a catfish grabbling video. So how can you say no to that?
I don't know how you possibly. That's a hell of a bargain, dude. That is a heck of a bargain.
Now, there's one other thing about Halloween that's not spooky that I just love.
Okay, so far we got sexy nurses and sexy schoolgirls.
Right, and the little mouse outfits and the candy. I like candy because I like sugar and chocolate and caramel and butterscotch and things that are kind of like candy, right?
Who doesn't?
Right. So I wanted to end the show tonight with something that wasn't so spooky, but something that was more about candy. And that's where my licking stick comes in.
Ow! Mama, come here quick and bring that licking stick. In the backyard, doing an outside dance. I'm telling me the other day she didn't want to be a drag. I don't know what she's doing. I think she's got a brand new bag. Mama, come here quick and bring me that licking stick. Mama, come here quick and bring that licking stick. Now look here, Judy, don't kill me with his lazy strokes. When he takes his feet right off the ground. Yeah.
These are my lady's outlooks. She's got to get herself back in the mathematics books. Do you hear me now? All right.